The scriptures are, we look at the Bible, and Titus and I were talking about this the other day. Not Titus of the Bible, Titus of New Life. But Titus and I were talking about this the other day, kind of the structure of the Bible and how it is formulated, how it's put together. And it's really not just one book. It's a more of a library. We should call it the library of the Bible. The Bible is a library, not a book, because it contains 66 different books that are collected into one that has been determined to be the Word of God. So it's 66 books written over this 1,500-year period. And by 40 different people, led by God, filled with the Spirit and led by God. Fill me up, God, fill me up, God. And so that they could hear from God, and so that God would be able to communicate to humanity. Someone told me one time, I don't believe in God. I said, what if there, just ask me this, let me ask this question. What if there is a God? I just play the what if game here. What if there is a God? And what if he wanted to communicate to his creation? What if he is a part of creation? What if he did create? And what if he'd want to communicate to his creation? How would he do that? How would he communicate to his creation? Could it be that he would speak through a human people to pen a message to people? Could it happen that way? And that's the way I believe with all my heart that it did happen. We have that Genesis, where it means in the beginning, right? The Genesis of how this world started and the creation and how the birth of mankind and how God navigated them. And we have this book of Genesis. Maybe 10 or 20,000 years ago, God spoke creation into existence. And then we have the book of Exodus in the Bible that God's people had been chosen. They ended up in slavery in Egypt, and God was freeing them from slavery. And he has the book of Exodus and exiting that freedom, exiting that slavery to live in freedom. So it's this whole journey. It covers just a short period of time in history. But God was bringing them out of Egypt and freeing them, leaving Exodus, leaving this life of slavery. And then we have the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers. And Numbers is that 40-year window, that 40-year period in the desert. And that's being recorded. They messed up and they got themselves in some mud. And they lived in that mud, but God's providing for them. And so even in the mud, even when we make the wrong choices, it gets us in the mud, God still provides. That's a beautiful book. Numbers is a beautiful book. You're never too deep in the mud for God not to care for you. You might be in the mud and he might not take you out of the mud, but he cares about you. And if you need to know that more and more and more, go to the Old Testament of Numbers and start reading through of how God did that in their life. It says their sandals didn't even wear out. He's provided for them over and over and over. And then we have the book of Leviticus in the Bible, and that's the Levitical law, or that's the priests, the ones that were called to lead people into the presence of God. And it was the guideline for the priestly tribe, for the Levites, and this is how I want you to behave as the pastoral staff of the nation of Israel. And then we have the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is this very unique book. It's 40 years after Exodus is being written. And Moses is giving a whole collection of speeches. That's basically the book of Deuteronomy is a collection of Moses' speeches. And if you want to know what Moses proclaimed to the people and what he was hearing from God and bringing to the people, you want to read through the book of Deuteronomy. One speech after another, because he would be in the tent of meetings and he would come out and he would tell them what God had said. And then he would seek God again and then he would come out. And in Deuteronomy, they're getting about ready to step out of this wayward life that they had been in for 40 years. Or their own choosing had got them into this situation. And God was going to bring them out and bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. The promised land, the new life he was going to bring them into. But he was reminding them of some of the things that he wanted for them. And Deuteronomy this morning is where we're going. Deuteronomy in chapter 6 is one of those speeches. Chapter 6, verse 1. Look what it says. These are the commands and decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me, Moses is talking, to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You're taking a new step here. You're taking a new step and you're stepping out. And you need to know that this is the way you're going to be successful if you're going to take that step into this new land, this new life. And God says, I want you to be successful. Let me give you the how to be successful in that land. And so he said, these commands and decrees and laws the Lord your God had directed me to teach you, to observe, to play them out, to live by them in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Verse 2 says, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord or stand in reverent awe of God. Not kind of shaking in your boots like you're afraid of the dark. Not so you can be afraid of God. God doesn't want you to be afraid of Him. He wants you to fear Him. And that's this reverent awe of God. I want your kids, he says, to have this reverent awe. I want you to have this reverent awe. I want your kids to have this reverent awe. And the kids after them. And the generations to come. I want them to have this reverent awe of the Lord. And children after them to fear or have this reverent awe of the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping His decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. So you can enjoy life. God didn't come to make your life miserable. He came, He's in your life to make it long, to make it enjoyable, to make it navigatable, to bring thrivability into your life. Look what he says in verse 3. Hear, O Israel. Hear. You know what? Normally that would have some like an exclamation point on it. Knock, knock, knock. Anybody home type of thing. That's what hear means. Hear, O Israel. Woo! Wake up in the back. That's what hear means in the Hebrew. Yo, you. It's about ready to fall asleep. I'm talking to you too. Hear, O Israel. Hear and be careful to obey so that things may go well with you and that you may increase greatly. I want this. See what God wants? God's not trying to screw up your life. He's trying to unscrew your life so that you can live. That things may go well with you, that you may increase in where? In that land that I have for you, that you're stepping into, this new life that I have for you, that you're going to step into. So that you can increase and things may go well with you. May increase in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your father, promised you. Look what he says in verse 4. Hear! Woo! Hey, God in the back! Talking to you too. You know, I drove school bus for several years. How come the kids that sat in the back seat of the school bus never went to sleep? You know, I want those kids to go to sleep. You know, they were always, that's where I sat when I was a kid. But if you're here today, I don't care if you're in the front or in the back. Woo! Here it is! Listen! Whoa! Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. The choice maker of your life is your heart. Put it down in your heart. Love God. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today, he's talking to the people. He's gathered the people. There are a big gathering of people. And I think there was kids kind of running around their families and moms and dads. They were listening. They were excited about what the next journey was going to be and where God was going to take them. And this is, Moses said, you got to go. You're going to go. You're going to go. It's going to be good. You can't believe what God has for you. You can't believe what that land looks like. Some of you only lived in the desert. You can't believe what God has for you. I've been to the mountaintop, he said. I've looked over into the promised land. I've seen it. I have spent time with God. Boy, you can't imagine. No eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can conceive what God has in store for you. You can't imagine what it is. He said, oh, you'll increase. Oh, you'll thrive. Oh, you'll rejoice. Let these commands be upon your heart today. Let them be upon your heart so that they can be the decision makers in your life. I want you to love me. What does God want from me? He just wants you to love him. He loves you so much, and he just wants you to love him back. Just love him back. Does God want me to do this and that? And with the first and foremost, he just wants you to love him. Just be in love with God. He said, I got a home for you. I got a plan for you. I got a journey for you. And you can't even wrap your head around it. Just love on me. Just let your heart love me with all your heart and your strength and your soul. And watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I'm going to do in your life. Verse 7 says this. Impress them on your children. I'm handing you this mantle. I'm handing you this insignia ring. And your children are soft clay. And as you love God, and as God loves you, and as God leads you forward, as God unleashes himself in your life, unleash that in your children's life. Unleash it in their life. He said, impress that. You have the ability to impress on your children. To put this mark in them, so gentle and so powerful in their wet concrete, this love of God. It's going to come through you into your children, and you're going to press it onto your children, and they're going to become, that is going to become a part of their soul because you impress that on them. You have that ability. The power of a parent is second to only God. I want you to impress it on your children. Oh, I want you to talk about it. I want you to talk about it, them, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. I want you to have this a part of your conversation. I want you to have God as part of your conversation. Talk about it. Talk about it with your children. How do I impress that on your children? To talk about it. Just talk about it with them. Just ask your three-year-old who he or she thinks Jesus is or who God is. Let them give you the answer. Just build a conversation. You can have a conversation with a two- and three-year-old. And until they're that age, months, and newborn, just over the crib at night, just cry out to God. Say, God, impress on them. God, I love you so much, and I want my son or my daughter to love on you. And at night, I'm just going to cry out. I'm going to lay my hands on that cradle. I'm going to lay my hands on that crib. I'm going to cry out to God. Because this world's going to give a damn about your children. Somebody's got to. And if we're not impressing on them the love of God, the world is going to impress on them garbage. And God said, I'm giving you the power to impress on your children. Have a conversation with them. Talk with them about it. Verses 8 and 9 says this. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. I just think this is apparel. I really do. Hey, wear the Jesus shirt. Do it. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead and write them on your refrigerator and write them on your dry erase board and write them on your mirror in the steam after the shower and write them wherever you can and write them a note in their lunch as they go to school. Remember, Dad loves you and God loves you. Write it. He said, write it. Get creative of where you continue to communicate it to your children. You have the power, parent. You have the power to communicate. You have the power to impress your faith onto your children. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Because you're going forward, Israel. because you're going forward, moms and dads, because you're going to leave this life and you're going to step into a brand new life. And you're walking with me. And it's me and you and your family. We're going to walk together here. And we're going to unleash me into their life. We have 10 families this morning that are going to make that proclamation this morning. We have 10 families representing 20 children this morning that are going to take that step and say, that's what we're going to do. We're going to live out Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. And please don't tell me, oh, I can't get that perfectly. Keep going. Read the rest of the Bible. You think they got it perfect? If God wanted perfect people, He would not have created people. God's God wants people that are just willing to say, no, no, I'm driving a stake in the ground today. This is what my family would do. And Joshua repeated it later on. I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to walk with God. As for me and my house and my children and their children, they're going to know that Pap was a man of God. They're going to know that Dad and Mom were people of God. They're going to know when this world gets crazy, they can run back to the house, not to be coddled by Mama, not to be coddled by Daddy, or not for Daddy to roll up his sleeves and beat up the next guy who shows up the door, but they can run back and find God. They can run back because I know that God is in these walls. 10 families and 20 children are making that proclamation today. Family kids that are a few months old, up to 13 years old. I was asked when we were doing this, is it ever too old to dedicate your children? I said, if they're still under your roof, have at it. I don't care if they're 17 years and 11 and a half months. Bring them forward if they'll come, and we'll dedicate them to the Lord, because 6 months with the Lord is powerful. So children that won't remember this day, but they'll remember what Mom does and what Dad does from this day forward. And children that will remember this day. And children that will remember when they're 18 and they're heading off to college. And they remember when I was 13. My mom and my dad made a pledge. And my mom and my dad have walked it out with God. And I'm going to college. And I want to be like my dad. And I want to be like my mom. Here's the kids and the parents. Kyle and Brandy are going to present Wyatt here in a few moments. Nick and Basie are going to present Victoria. And Scott and Brianna are going to present Bryson. And Ryan and Beth are going to present Estrella and Lily and Francesca. Frankie, as I know her. Ryan Jr. Drew and Danielle are going to present Luke Samuel. I love that name. It just sounds good. It's probably you can yell at him pretty well, too. Luke Samuel! You know, that just seems... I was glad my name wasn't that. My mom would have done... Anyway, rabbit trail. Jason and Katie are going to present Ezekiel and Elora. And Mike and Bethany are going to present Pearl. And Travis and Jess are going to present Elijah and Titus and Trinity and Isaiah and Selah and Nazareth and Genesis. And Miranda is going to present Colson, and Doreen is going to present Ava. Today, you are going public. Push the button. Today, you are going public. Today, let it be heard. Today, you are going public. Push the button. Today, you are going public. Today, you're going to take a stand. I'm talking to the parents. Today, you're going to proclaim your intent. Today, you are making a vow. This day is being marked in the heavenlies. We gather here in the sight of God. Push the button. We gather here in the sight of God to witness and participate in this vow. This vow is not to be taken lightly. Just so you know, I pulled this right out of the marriage vows because I think it's that serious. In this vow, you are committing to a lifelong journey. This vow must endure through challenges because you will have them. And when the road gets rough with your children, you need to revisit this day. And this vow can only be dissolved by death. You don't have to have a license in the state of Pennsylvania to fulfill this vow. But you've got to make a pledge to God and send in the heavenlies and say, whatever, wherever, whatever may happen, let it be known in the heavenlies. Let it be known. On this day, March 21st, 2021, all heaven and earth was altered because moms and dads and grandparents are making a vow on this day that no matter what happens, come hell or high water, we will impress on our children the ways of God. Parents, the vow that you're going to take. I promise, push the button, I promise to love the Lord my God. I promise to learn God's word. I promise to pass a living faith on to my child. I promise to pray for my child. I promise to instruct my child in the Christian faith. I promise to teach my child the Word of God. I promise to take my child faithfully to the house of worship. I promise to do all that is in my power to bring my child into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I make that promise. Parents, as I call your name, Tobin, Cheryl, please come. Bring the vow back up. Parents, your physical response to saying yes demands a physical response from you. And I'm going to ask you, name by name, family by family, if you're saying yes to this vow, I want you to get up from your seat one at a time as I call your name. And I want you to come up these steps. And I want you to walk across this, proclaiming to all of us and proclaiming to all heaven and earth that today I'm making this pledge. Today, I'm making this vow. And you'll come across here, and each one will have this anointed cloth. And you will take it back with you. And at the prayer time, you will open up this cloth and you will spread it over your child, or if your child's old enough to hang on to it, and you'll hang on to it. And then we will pray this prayer of dedication over you. If it's your intent to live out that vow, Kyle and Brandy presents Wyatt. If it's your intent, come forward. Nick and Basie presents Victoria before the Lord. Thanks, brother. Sweetie. Scott and Brianna presents Bryson. And big sister Ava. Vow again, please. Ryan and Beth presents Estrella, Lily, Francesca, and Ryan Jr. Good job, young man. Sweetie. Good job, Mama. Good job, Mama. Drew and Danielle presenting, I gotta say it, Luke Samuel. Jason and Katie presents Ezekiel and Laura. Good job, Dad. You're a great mom. You're a great mom. You hear me? Mike and Bethany present Pearl, who is also my granddaughter. Travis and Jess presents Elijah and Titus, Trinity, Isaiah, Selah, Nazareth, and Genesis. If you ever get bored on an evening, you can hang out at Travis and Jess's house. Miranda presents Colson. And Doreen presents Ava. Sweetie, good job. Thanks, Graham. Thank you for all you do. If you're a family member or a grandparent or someone has come to witness this proclamation, to witness this vow that's being taken today for your family, I just want you to stand just for a moment, everyone that's here for this purpose this morning. New Life, I know I'm going to have you stand in a minute. But if you're here this morning as a representative for this family, I got a question for you. You heard it. You're going to need to know this. You heard what just was vowed to. Grandparents respond, families respond with, "We do," if this is your promise. I promise to assist this mom or dad and dad or grandmother. I promise to assist this parent as they endeavor to live out this vow. Respond, "We do." You can have a seat. New Life, stand, please. I'm not going to make an argument that it takes a community to raise a child, but it takes a church. We promise to assist this parent, this dad, this mom, this grandparents, as they endeavor to live out this vow. If that's our intent, respond, "We do." We do. You can have a seat. Parents, with your child, I'm going to have you stand again. If you're with that family, I want to have you stand around them. Just so you know, I'm stepping out of the pastor role and going back in the back. I'm going to be Pap here in a few minutes. And Tobin is going to step up here, and he's going to offer a prayer of dedication on the families today. So get around. Grandparents, grandmas, paps, get around those individuals. New Life, I would just ask you, if you can, just point your hand toward one of those groups of people. Just point your hands at them this morning. I'm going to leave, and Tobin's going to take over here.
And I will close in prayer. As we begin this part, I want to read from Jeremiah this morning, chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. It says this: "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." And today we're just going to put in there, "Blessed is the family who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For they shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding its fruit." Let us pray for these families. Father God, we bring before you the families of our church and their children. And this day they have vowed to raise these children to know you and to honor you. God, I pray that this day you would pour your Spirit out upon each and every one of them and give them the power to fulfill this vow. I pray that their mind would not forget the vow that they have made this day. And I pray that as they honor their vow to teach your word, to show them your statutes, that you would prosper these families, Lord. In Jeremiah, we read that as a family gathers by you the river, they have nothing to fear. They have nothing to be anxious about, and they will produce fruit. So God, I claim that promise over these families today as they fulfill their vow before you to walk in your ways and to teach your ways. God, may Kyle and Brandy and Nick and Beezy and Scott and Brianna, Ryan and Beth, Drew and Daniel, Jason, Katie, Mike and Bethany, Travis and Jess, Miranda and Doreen, may they be a rock and a pillar in their lives spiritually for their child to look up to. May Wyatt and Victoria and Bryce and Estrella, Lily, Francesca, Ryan, Luke, Ezekiel, Alora, Pearl, Elijah, Titus, Trinity, Isaiah, Selah, Nazareth, Genesis, Colson, and Ava. May they never forget that you are a God who loves them and that your ways are good and right. May they know the touch of you upon them because of the vow their parents and grandparents and church family are making this day. God, I ask that you would be glorified in this and that as these children grow, that they too would spread your love to the world around us. That they too would fulfill this vow and pass it on to their children and to their grandchildren. God, I pray this day for your blessing, for your empowerment. May we grab a hold of it and hang on to it this day, I pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask these things. Thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated.
Let me finish with this morning, with the words from Solomon written in Ezekiel. When you make a vow to God, don't delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Today we have made a vow, all of us. Parents, you have made a vow. Grandparents and family, you've made a vow. New life, we've made a vow. Let's not be slow in fulfilling that vow. It starts today. It starts today. Talk about what just happened with your children. If they're old enough to have a conversation, talk about it today with them. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these moments together. Thank you for this proclamation from 1,500 years ago, 3,500 years ago of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where parents were standing with kids, I think, up around their waist and holding babies. They were listening to Moses, and I think they were looking at each other and said, yes, we're going to do that. And here we are 3,500 years later. Parents are standing up, kids around them, saying, yes, we're going to do that. Father, thank you so much for this moment together. Thank you for these days together. And Father, now we're going to live out that vow. Help us to do it with every bit of zeal and every bit of strength and every bit of wisdom that you'll give us. Father, this world will try to take our children. We're not going to let it. We vow them to you and us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.